give you the lesson in 5 minutes, and then you have to leave. I'll give you the summary right away. Then I'll have the lesson. Then I'll tell you what I told you.
1, 2, 3.
What do they call that? Homiletics? Is that the word?
Yeah.
Huh? I didn't do too good for the last two sessions on homiletics because the time ran out. First, we'll talk about the Greek word for earthquake. The Greek word for earthquake is seismos. A seismograph. Have you heard the word seismos? Seismos. I don't know how to spell it, so I'll drink to me. Seismos. The Greek word seismos is usually translated earthquake, but not always. It's also translated tempest. Did you hear the word tempest? The tempest. There was a great tempest. Its tempest was a great wind, W-I-N-D. So then a hurricane, a cyclone. What do they call the cyclones out in the Pacific? There's another word.
Typhoon.
And what's the other word?
Tsunami.
As a result. Okay.
Result of an earthquake that originates in the Aleutian Islands.
Right by anger.
Right.
Follow this thought. God used an earthquake when he used Moses to start a new religion. Right or wrong?
Right.
Right or wrong? Right? Did the mountain shake? Did the mountain shake? All right. An earthquake when he used King David to start a new religion. I'll give you that. Probably you haven't noticed that before. But in Psalm 18 it says, the earth shook and trembled. And then he introduced El Elyon. You didn't catch that, I'll do it again. You have to have an earthquake to introduce El Elyon.
Right.
I said you have to have an earthquake to introduce El Elyon.
Yes.
An earthquake and El Elyon come together.
Oh Lord, please don't let us be here.
Amen.
Just use us to help get us started. Don't keep us in the middle. Saw your hand.
Did you say Psalm 88?
Psalm 18. 18. See the little red thing here on this? Psalm 18, 7 and 13. Verse 7 and verse 13. And there he shows that the earth shook when David started the Tabernacle of David. This is not normally taught. You can't find that in any books. You look up all kinds like Matthew Henry and all that kind of stuff. You can't find it. You'll have to find it in the Bible itself. And the only way I could find it was through my Marvel computer. Helped me to find this. The earth shook and trembled, the foundations and the hills were moved and shaken because it was raw. This is probably out of 1 Samuel, chapter 26. The Lord thundered in the heavens and El Elyon, which, by the way, this is the first reference to Elyon since the restoration, or that brought forth the restoration. Now, why is this so important? Well, because God is always using an earthquake. When he took an earthquake and Jesus was on the cross, what happened? What happened? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What happened? Okay. Now, God used an earthquake for Paul and Silas to start a new religion, see? Jesus started a new religion, but Paul and Silas started a new religion too. Right? You say, how can that be? Jesus started Christianity among the Jews, but Paul and Silas took it out to the rest of the world. And it was another earthquake. Right or wrong? All right. Now, on it goes. Will God use an earthquake when he uses us to start a new religion? It might well be. It just might well be. Friends, I would rather not prophesy earthquakes. But this ministry went to Brazil because of the earthquake prophet Claudio Pinto, who came here with a message that God is going to use earthquakes. Now, only a few of you were here about 6 or 8 years ago when Claudio, do you remember Claudio? And what was his message?
Earthquakes.
Now at the time, I didn't get the witness as much as I get it now. But I know Claudio was right. Now, he was a part of that same John Robert Stevens thing that you're thinking about. And that earthquake message has to come forth. Now the mouth was all together on the smoke. I can't help it. Every time I read this about a mountain that was on a smoke. That's a funny way to say it. I guess it's all right. But...
Was it a volcano?
Yes, it was. Because the Lord descended upon it in the fire, and the smoke thereof ascended, the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked. And it was just like Mount St. Mary's. Helen. And it was an earthquake, but it was a volcanic action. So when I think of volcanoes, I always think of a man's belt around his pants. That's a funny thing, but I do. Now the belt is called the Ring of Fire, and it's in the Pacific Ocean. Bob mentioned the Aleutians. Now the Aleutians is one part of that belt, but another part of the belt buckle is right as that goes around the Pacific Ocean, then the tongue of the belt, see the Aleutians are on the circumference, but the tongue of the belt then slips away like a belt. Tongue slips away. And it goes up through the Indian Ocean and finally ends up in Israel. Then it splits into fingers and goes through Europe. That is all an interconnected fissure. You hear me? The fissure is a circle around the earth in the Pacific, the rim, the Ring of Fire, the rim of the Pacific. That would be California, Russia, Japan, Micronesian Islands, on down, even down in Australia and back around. This is the belt. Then the tongue of the belt splits around the Indian Ocean and goes up in that way and finally goes through Israel. That goes through one flat mountain that's going to split. I think it tells you in the Bible, doesn't it? A mountain's going to split, right? And it's going to split. But that's part of the same system. Same crack.
That's not in Harrisburg.
No, the split's not in Harrisburg. No, Harrisburg, our closest thing we would have to worry about is the fissure in Lancaster. And then we have a fissure called the Susquehanna. Yeah. That's another fissure. But the one that's active is the Lancaster fissure. It's still active. We stay out 3 point Richters every year or two here in Lancaster. But what that'll do, we don't know. By the way, does everybody think that I'm thinking literal? May not be literal. Wouldn't it be neat if it was just symbolic?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if all it did was shape the foundations of the church?
Yeah.
Huh? Wouldn't that...
And the graves would be open.
Yeah. That's good when Bob and thought of that. What?
First physical, that's true.
I hate to think physical. I just don't want to think physical, but it could be, yes.
One of the worst earthquakes in history was in 1882.
Yeah.
Krakatoa, Pacific Company.
Krakatoa.
And it's about the same time that the Russian Pentecostals came down.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? Very interesting. They got the prophecy in 1845 and lived in 18. Yes, huh?
It's interesting that the next one is number 6.
Did you hear what he said, Betty? He said the Pentecostal moved Krakatoa and connected that with that to the list here. Now, what did you say?
I said it's interesting that the next earthquake is number 6.
What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That is well, that'd be 5.
Okay, I'm sorry. No problem.
Yeah.
Yes, Tom.
The great earthquake started in 1982.
Say it again?
The
great earthquake started in 1982.
You mean the activities?
Introduction of early on.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Tom. I don't know whether you heard that or not, but Tom is connecting the message of the angels in the sky over Baltimore in October of 82. And the new religion. And that started some things where you live, started some things all over. What do you think of a guy who puts LLE on now on his front bumper of his car?
Really?
Smart man.
Jesus. There's got one on his truck, but his is for Virginia, and there's a Pennsylvania one. Well, that means they're sold on it. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. God left the tabernacle at Shiloh. In the last generation lesson, it tells you, you must tell the people that God left Shiloh. I'm going to do that again. The importance of the interaction of these lessons. Do you hear me? The importance of the interaction of these lessons, you must tell the people, you know, the last generation must know the lesson of leaving Shiloh and going to Zion. Yes. And the book is called David's Tabernacle Now. Honey, when I read that somebody was supposed to tell that story, and I was the guy that wrote the book, but didn't know what the commission was. I didn't know that the commission tells you right here in this, tells you in the last chapter, the last generation, it says that the book must be written on that story. Because it's a vital story for everybody to know that God left Shiloh and went to the tabernacle of David. All right. And so we did it. And as we went into it, we found out that the restoration of, say it, El Elyon starts with an earthquake. And it's for the last generation. The restoration of El Elyon. We can show you. I'm sorry I'm going through this so fast, but this can't help it. There are scriptures in here to prove to you that the El Elyon message is for the last generation. How's it make you feel?
Wonderful.
I feel good. I think, you know, how many can realize, I'm sure you've thought about it too. What if we're wrong? Huh? What if we're wrong? What if we, you know, what did I do? Just ruin two? Well, I ruined how many lives?
No way.
I don't. Well, I don't believe we're wrong. But can you understand the relief I had when I found what the last generation is supposed to learn? Because everything that's in this book we've been doing before the book was printed. And it, what can I say? There are people in Harrisburg who don't believe that we're telling the truth. It sure is nice when I find this kind of confirmation that we haven't been led by a familiar spirit or an unclean spirit. You know what I'm talking about. We're not doing bad. Well, somebody said if you were doing better, you could show some brick and some mortar and some things like that. And I've entertained those thoughts and decided to just say, get behind me, Satan. I won't entertain what I can't do. Did you hear me? If I listened to what I can't do, I'd be discouraged. All I can do is what I can do with the tools I got. And God can pick up the pieces and put the other things together. Absolutely no question. I know for a fact God will someday give our school brick and mortar without putting anybody under the bondage. Financial bondage, you know what I'm saying? And when that occurs, then we can go forward without a denomination. Have we got that or not?
Yes.
It takes a denomination to start a school. But if God starts a school without a denomination, then we can go forward with the Spirit. Instead of a denomination. I think it makes sense. So that'll all happen at the right time, the right way, without anybody being terribly sacrificed. When Jesus died, cried again with a loud voice and lifted up the ghost, and the earth did quake. I don't know how much to go to that. You remember the story. The graves were what?
Open.
Many what? The saints arose. Came out of the graves after the resurrection. Went to the holy city. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that were done, they what? And they said what? Say it. Truly this was the Son of God. Do it again. Truly this was the Son of God. Truly this was the Son of God. When they saw the earthquake. What about an earthquake would make a man do that? I don't know. It convinced him. It convinced him. It takes a lot of things to convince a lot of people. An earthquake will convince a guy of heart, right? And so we have judgment. Judgment comes to convince people, right? So it convinced him. In mercy shall the throne be established, and the Lamb shall sit upon the tabernacle of David. Write this down. Isaiah 16:5. The Lamb shall sit upon the tabernacle of David. The reason I'm telling you this is that's not in the book. I just found it. And judging in truth in the tabernacle, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. The tabernacle of David's going to have the judge on it. Now, unfortunately, all of my book is about the mercy of God. But I have to teach earthquakes. I have to teach some uglies because judgment comes. It's also here. El Elyon used Peter and Paul and James to rebuild the tabernacle of David. You remember the story, Acts 11, Acts 10, Acts 15. And there, in the tabernacle of David, they were rebuilt. They called Paul in for trial because he'd been saying that the Jews didn't need to be what? In the flesh. Circumcised in the flesh. And the trial went on, Acts chapter 15. The first defense witness was Peter. He went to the stand, took the oath, and said, I, Peter, went to the Gentiles, not because I wanted to, but because a four-cornered sheep came down. You remember the story? Mm-hmm. Then he said, who was I to forbid water? You remember the story? Who was I that I could forbid water? Because we heard them speak with other tongues as we did at the first. That was it. That was it. When they heard him talk tongues, that was it. Tongues broke down racial barriers. This was a racial conflict. You understand me now? This was Jews and Greeks. It was race. And the Greeks said, we're superior. And the Jews said, we're superior. We don't eat with you guys. Right? It was race again. It had been prophesied by Amos. But I had forgotten this prophecy up here, and I just gave it to you now. Out of Isaiah. It was fulfilled in Acts 15. When James said, he got up, and James gave the sentence like a judge. And he said, this is nothing but the tabernacle of David. He says, this is what God is doing. So let's let the Gentiles into the church. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
But it started with a mighty earthquake. And Paul and Silas immediately left the trial, got thrown in jail. There was the earthquake. That's the end of that. Let's move on. Peter came to Antioch. I was studying for to the base, for he was to be blamed before certain came from Jerusalem. He, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles. But after he came, he went away dissimulating himself, so that even Barnabas also should be carried away with his dissimulation. It only took a few more years. Paul himself returned to Jerusalem. Thou seest, brother, how many Jews there are which believe, but they're zealous of the... We have some brothers here that have a vow on them taking being charges with them, so that all may know that the things whereof thou they have heard concerning thee are nothing. Honey, these were the most important things that were... He said, if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now he's going back on it, and he goes back to the Jews at Jerusalem, and of all people, to the very heads of the church, the apostles themselves. There's a teaching going around the United States and the world that you ought to be submitted. Who are you submitted to? I get the phone calls, Brother Evo, we'd like to have you come to our church to teach, but you have to give us the name of someone you're submitted to. Before we can come to our teach, come to our church and teach. Not all churches ask that, but a lot of them do. Well, let's talk about submission for just a minute. How many would like to be submitted to the very apostles of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be the best of all? Well, this is what the apostles said. Go and be at charges with these guys, and then fake that you had a Nazarite vow. Pretend like you had a Nazarite vow. And we know he didn't have a Nazarite vow because he had just been eating a BLT at the city he just came from. I didn't hear that, Charles.
It was kosher.
Oh, it was kosher ham.
Yeah.
All right. Got it. And now, he, Paul, is now bound and never released. Did you hear it? In verse 4, the Spirit said, do not go to Jerusalem. The Spirit was very plain, do not go to Jerusalem. In verse 13, he said, what mean ye to make me weak? I'm ready not only to go, but to be bound. And Paul was bound and never released. Because first Peter and then Paul took us right back away from the tabernacle of David, away from El Elyon, and back to Yahweh. Into this ever since, and that led us into the what?
Dark Ages.
Constantine came along 330, Theodosius is 380. If you strip track 30 from 380, that was Jesus' start of his ministry. From 380, what do you get? Say it. 30 from 380, what is it?
350.
350. In 3.5 periods of time, the church is going to fall over dead. You remember in the book of Revelation? It said 3 days they're up and 3 days they're down. Right?
Yeah.
Now, 3.5 periods of time, they're down. Now they're down again. Exactly at the right time when Theodosius made a law that said everybody's a Christian. Honey, you can't make Christians by law. And Theodosius, you know how he baptized the men?
They marched.
Marched through the river. Yes, sir. They were in line. Forward march. You can't do it that way. There's no real testimony of God or Jesus nor knowledge of anything during the Dark Ages. We entered the Restoration. Praise God. Praise God for Wycliffe. He was a Roman Catholic, but he gave us the Bible anyway. Then we got the Gutenberg. Now, I personally like to stop and think about Gutenberg because he was not only an engineer, he was a technician. He worked with his head and his hands. You understand me? He was a craftsman. And then it was an artisan. I like men who are craftsmen and artisans. There's something about a man and his tools and his job and his service. And what was the first thing he printed with movable type?
Bible.
The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, because the most important thing in the world. Now he gave us the Bible, Gutenberg. Right after that, we have Martin Luther. Then he said, wait, it's not by works, it's by faith. Then that way came along, now we were saved, and Luther gave us salvation of the spirits by grace through faith. After that, Pentecost was restored. William Seymour restored the salvation of her souls. Who is William Seymour?
Black bastard.
A black, one-eyed bastard. And then, you know that within the week was the famous San Francisco earthquake. I said within the week. I said within April 9th. The great San Francisco earthquake. It had to be because this was the restoration.
Right.
Do you know the prophecies went forth in that little church on Azusa Street about the earthquake that was coming?
Yes,
they knew it.
Was Azusa Street in San Francisco?
Was
where the earthquake was?
No. Azusa was in Los Angeles.
City of the Angels.
Okay.
But it was felt.
Yes. Okay.
It was felt very strong.
All the way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a spiritual significance
for
that?
I think that, God started a new religion.
I'm talking about the one in
Boston. No. No, I think that the earthquake in San Francisco was the herald for the new religion in Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
All right, I hope you got that, because that means that the earthquake doesn't have to happen where we are.
Sorry,
Captain. Yes, Rob.
When was the New Madrid quake?
All right, this was before 1840, it was about 1820s and 30s. New Madrid's fault on the Mississippi River. The one in the center of the United States, on the Mississippi River, called the New Madrid, there's a little town. It's across from Cape Girardeau, near Cape Girardeau in
Missouri.
It's not too far from St. Louis.
Is that the one
that went backwards? Oh, yeah, went backwards and that formed lakes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
When did it happen?
Well, it was when it was a territory and it was just beginning to open up. There were hardly no people, hardly nobody there, no cities. Very little destruction of that nature. The guys, the trappers, a few people like that got hurt, but that was it. No real major damage from that standpoint. But it just took the belly button in the United States and turned it inside out.
Bigger than Frisco.
Oh, yes. I think it's the biggest we ever had.
Is it now?
I fell for that, too. I'm not going to answer. The tabernacle of David shall be fully restored as the time comes for the salvation of the body by HOPE and the energy of El Elyon. Will El Elyon also use an earthquake? I don't know. Yeah, you are actually in a blind spot. I can't see at all.
On your subject about earthquake, I did had one. I was talking with Gene Brooks, and they had one out in Seattle, out there. And he said the same person that prophesied that exact earthquake on an exact day also prophesied one for the East Coast. But he didn't really discuss which month or day or whatever that the prophecy. But the exact one, and as a matter of fact, the exact magnitude was already prophesied.
It's a 5.3 on the Richter scale. It happened just about 30 miles east of Gene's house.
Exactly.
And as long as using the word prophecy, I want to clear up that just a minute. This was not a spiritual prophecy. This was a scientific analysis. I'd like to talk to you about that for just a minute, because I personally have been through king tides. And king tides are one of the major things that you have to learn about earthquakes. It was, probably about 1949 or something. I went to Hampton Roads, right across from Norfolk, and went to the ship. And our ship was aground. And the ships of the U.S. Navy were aground. And it was a serious thing, because we didn't realize what was happening. And the water ran out of the bay I said the water ran out of the bay and the United States Man of War were sitting in mud because there was no water to float them. And mine was one of them. And we let all out all the line we had, and we were still tilted because it was, well, we needed water. And it was all gone. Now, what made the water go away? Well, you know that the tides are controlled by the moon, don't you? But you also know that a miner controls the sun, don't you? Now, when the sun and the moon are in conjunction, and I can't fully explain that because it happens differently on different places of the ocean according to where it is at the time.